The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever does not enter a sheepfold through the gate, but climbs over elsewhere, is a thief and a robber. But whoever enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice. As the shepherd calls out, calls his own sheep by name, and leads them out. When he has driven out all his own, he walks ahead of them, and the sheep follow him, because they recognize his voice. But they will not follow a stranger. They will run away from him because they do not recognize the voice of strangers." Although Jesus used this figure of speech, the Pharisees did not realize what he was trying to tell them. So Jesus said again, "Amen, amen, I say to you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and slaughter and destroy. I came so that they might have life and have it more abundantly." The Gospel of the Lord. This is the fourth Sunday of Easter. So about a month ago was Easter Sunday, and about a month from now, 4 weeks now, is Pentecost, the culmination of the Easter season. So we're really right in the middle of Easter. If this was Lent, this would basically be Laetare Sunday, Pink Sunday, marking the middle of the Lenten season. I think usually Lent feels like a long time to get to Laetare Sunday, and then in Easter it just seems to fly by. But it's important to remember that Easter season lasts even longer than Lent, that the joy of the resurrection is meant to overcome all of the shadow of our penance and all the shadow of our sin. Because Jesus himself is the first fruit of the resurrection. He's the first one that shows us how God can overcome sin and death. The thing that's maybe obvious about the first fruits is that they're the first ones. The idea of the first fruits is that they're not the last fruits. They're not the extent of the fruit, but they're just the first glimpse into the full abundant harvest that can come. In fact, there was a Jewish feast day called Bikurim that was always the feast of the first fruits. It would happen throughout the year a few different times for different crops. It would happen for barley. It would happen for wheat or for other fruits that they grew, that the kids would actually go out, the young kids especially, would go out into the fields when they knew that things would start to sprout, when they were about to start to bear fruit. They would go out and they would kind of search the fields, hoping to catch a glimpse of just a little ear of wheat, or just a little glimpse of fruit, so they could run and pick it and they could take it into the temple. That they could go and give thanks to God for these first fruits, for the first glimpse to the fact that God was making something new. They knew that that wasn't the extent of the harvest. That was probably just a very small fraction of it. But then at the end, they would come and they would bring a tithe. They would bring the 10% of what they had received to give thanks to God for the full harvest. There's some scholars that think that actually that Easter Sunday when Jesus was resurrected was actually a Bikurim feast, was actually a feast of the first fruits of the barley harvest. That the kids that day would have gone out into the fields anxiously looking for the first fruits of the barley harvest. I think you could say similarly, someone goes to the tomb of Jesus looking for the first fruits of his new life. When Mary Magdalene goes to the tomb, she's looking for Jesus, really not knowing what to expect, probably expecting to find a tomb where she can anoint the body, where she can grieve at his loss and his death. But she finds the tomb empty. She finds not the first fruits of death and decay. She finds the first fruits of Jesus' resurrection. The first initial proofs that God has truly overcome sin and death. And at first she doesn't really understand, but she sees that something new is happening. I think the church always wants us to kind of go back and forth between the first fruits of the resurrection, but also the full harvest that we see ultimately on the Feast of Pentecost. So we got our first reading from today when Peter is out preaching, telling the Jews, he says, you all who put Jesus to death are actually invited into the fruits of his resurrection. But I think he would have pointed to himself and he would have said, just like I rejected the Lord and have come to new life because of him, just as I've experienced the new life of the resurrection, you can actually be freed from your sin and overcome death as well through the grace of baptism. That Peter wants this full harvest to happen in the church, first by recognizing the first fruits, first recognizing how Jesus himself did it, but also seeing how we can do it now, how we can receive that same gift and hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. I think the Easter season always invites us to do those two things in our world today. To, yes, look back and see the first fruits of the resurrection. To see how Jesus did that, to see how that birthed the church and the joy that that brought to the ancient world. But also to look back and see how we ourselves have received the first fruits of the resurrection. Especially through the grace of baptism, how Jesus has given us new life. Not just kind of this binary yes or no, do I have life or not have life? Am I connected to God or disconnected to God because of mortal sin? Let's really see the first fruits of what Jesus says at the end of today's gospel. That if we follow the Good Shepherd, we don't just have life, yes or no, but that he came to give us life in abundance. Put it differently, there's always more that God wants to give us. There's always new ways that the life of the resurrection can be shown in our lives. There's always ways that we can recognize the first fruits, but also look forward to the full harvest of the resurrection. So we can do that personally, but we can also see how that happens every year within our church. That every year on Easter Vigil, when those new neophytes are baptized and received into the church, the church is doing something new, that there's more new people that have come to recognize Jesus and to receive his gifts in the sacraments. But that's not the full harvest. That's not the end of the fruit that God wants to bear. Instead, the grace of God wants to continue to work in our lives, to show us new and exciting ways that he can overcome sin and death around us. I think that's what the rest of the Easter season is meant to help us to do. That these last 4 weeks, but also looking forward to the next month leading into the celebration of Pentecost, we really want to say, God, what is the full harvest that you want to give me? Yes, help me to recognize how you've helped me to overcome maybe sinful habits or selfish desires. Want to see how the gifts of the sacraments have helped me to be the saint that you call me to be today. I want to see how I've heard and recognized the voice of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, and how I followed him up to this moment. But also help me to see the fullness of his resurrection, to see the fullness of following him here and now. Not to think that the fruits of the resurrection have finished and my job is just to kind of run out the clock, but instead to seek this abundant life that he wants to give us. Because how do we receive that abundant life? It's simply by hearing the voice of the shepherd and following him. Not by seeking to grasp things or take advantage of things ourselves. Jesus in the gospel is thinking specifically of the scribes and the Pharisees who use kind of these religious things to their own advantage, to use them to gain power or to gain influence over other people. And he says the Good Shepherd does the exact opposite. He never comes to take, to grasp and steal and destroy. Instead, he comes to pour himself out of good for others so that they can have this abundant life that he shows us in his resurrection. So brothers and sisters, let us take time this Easter Sunday to recognize the first fruits of the resurrection. See how God has already started to work in our lives and show us how he overcomes sin and death. Let us not stop there. Let us not think that that's the end of the fruits of the resurrection of Jesus. Instead, let us push forward like the early church, like Peter and the apostles that went out seeking to bring in the full harvest of the church. We trust that God wants to bring those good things into our lives now. Just because we've seen the first fruits of the resurrection doesn't mean that God is finished. Instead, it means that we are called to listen for his voice, to follow him as the good shepherd, so that we can truly have life, have that eternal and lasting life of his resurrection. And we won't just have it in a moment or two, but instead that we can have that life abundantly, both here on this earth and for eternity with him in heaven.